Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I wonder if any of you have seen the new commercial for DirecTV. I've been watching a lot of football recently and seen it on regularly, and it's my second favorite commercial, right behind a Facebook commercial with a unicorn that's focused on digestive health. But in this commercial, there's a nice suburban neighborhood that's very out of place. It looks like it's from the 1800s in the middle of a modern suburban neighborhood, and the front yard is being plowed by a man on a horse-driven plow. A neighbor pulls up in his nice sedan, I think, and he greets his neighbor dressed in farming clothes from the 1800s. Then a boy looking like Tom Sawyer runs out and asks his dad, "Father, why can't we have DirecTV like the McGregors do?" Father answers, "Because we're settlers, son. We settle for things." The commercial closes with a stern command from father to son, "Now go churn some butter and make your own clothes." The point of the commercial, besides being funny, is why settle for cable when you could have DirecTV? Why settle for less when you could have more? Well, I haven't bought DirecTV, and I don't know if I ever will, but I can appreciate the point. Why settle for less when you could have more? That's part of Jesus' message, particularly in the Gospel of John. Jesus isn't a killjoy. He's come to bring joy. Jesus said in John chapter 10, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." In John chapter 14, he reiterates, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Today in our gospel lesson, in Jesus' very first sign, he is, in fact, the life of the party. He's topping off everyone's glass, and not with the cheap stuff, but with quality, high-quality wine. So is the point of our lesson today that Jesus likes to party? Well, yes, although, of course, he's done much more than simply party it up. Early in his ministry, Jesus is accused of doing exactly that sort of thing. On the one hand, earlier, people had complained that John was too sober and too somber. And now, on the other hand, they're complaining that Jesus is too loose and freewheeling, eating with tax collectors and sinners. In fact, when the Pharisees are offended at the joyous nature of Jesus' ministry, which is not stoic enough for their liking, Jesus even uses a wine-based metaphor to make his point. "You can't keep new wine in old wineskins, or the old wineskins will burst apart," he says. "It's time to party, for the bridegroom is here." In fact, that's one of the points of our gospel lesson. We should rejoice, for the bridegroom has arrived. It's the moment that Israel, the people of Israel, had been waiting for, the time of the anointed Messiah coming to set free the people of God from slavery once more. Christ has come that we too might rejoice and party, albeit in a slightly different way than the world around us. But there must be a reason, right, that John goes out of his way to tell us this story, and furthermore to highlight that changing water into wine is the first of Jesus' signs. Signs are a big theme in John, and signs, we know, always tell you something. They point to something outside of or bigger than themselves. You can drive by on the highway, and my son would tell you that a red sign with the letters STOP means stop, or else there might be an accident. A sign might warn you about construction or alert you that your exit is fast approaching. John's gospel is full of signs, miracles, words, and conversations that have a greater significance upon closer inspection. This wedding party is more than just a wedding party. Now, of course, wedding parties were big enough in Jesus' day. They were a big deal, even bigger than they are today. They often were celebrated for sometimes nearly a week. Weddings then, as now, they had the unique ability to bring communities together. In fact, it was a high point of the community, a great celebration that was bigger even than just the couple. It was about the family, about the whole community coming together and celebrating. This sign, this miracle of turning water into wine, shows that God has come to do something big among his people, that he has come to give them great reasons to rejoice. It's bigger than what it simply looks like, and more significant than it appears at first glance. In fact, so God's kingdom works among us. Of course, in this story, many simply miss the significance. The servants, we're told, know that a miracle has happened, but for instance, the master of the banquet, and we have to guess the vast majority of the guests, simply think that it was a nice surprise that the vintage wine has been saved for the end. Just when the party might normally be winding down, Jesus has kicked it up a notch. So too does Jesus work in our midst. When we normally would expect things to take a turn for the worse, Jesus has a way of stepping in and doing something that exceeds our expectations. He has a way of turning disasters and misfortunes into opportunities for his kingdom to grow. What seems like bad news can actually be turned by our Savior into an opportunity for God to work among his people in their faith to grow. In fact, that's God's promise for us in Romans. He says, we know that God works together for good for all those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God works all things together for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Well, it certainly must have felt like a disaster to that wedding party as things were happening, and to their, for instance, their concerned and caring family friend, Mary, when the wine ran out. I mean, in that day, you couldn't just run over to the liquor store and buy more wine. Like, most likely, it had to be arranged for far ahead of time. No wine probably meant no more wine, not just a delay. And this would have been a great shame for the whole family, certainly a major disappointment for the community, and a horrible beginning to this couple's marriage. Yet Mary knew exactly where to turn and what to do, even when her friends were fretting and unsure what to do. She talked to Jesus. Even though his answer was a bit evasive, "Woman, my time has not come yet," she nevertheless told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Having observed Jesus more closely than anyone else in his lifetime, she seemingly takes it for granted that he's going to have mercy and do something for this community. And boy, does he. He turns water into wine. What could have been a disaster that was talked about in hushed whispers for around the Nazareth for decades, instead turns into a smashing success that we're still talking about today. Even more important, Jesus' disciples were told, upon seeing this sign, believed in him. That's how our God works. Yes, there are certainly down times, disappointments, and heartaches in this life. However, your Messiah has a way of turning hardships into hoopla and heartaches into hope. That's what happens when you follow Christ, your Savior, Jesus of Nazareth. He will astound you with his grace and with his acts of mercy. He brings us joy and refreshment when we are thirsty. He creates faith where there was despair. Why settle for less when you could have more? Why settle for life without Christ when you could have life with Christ? Our God is a God, truly a God of joy, who loves life. While he certainly doesn't advocate abusing any substance, legal or illegal, it does say something about our God that he regularly uses the medium of wine to get his point across. Jesus still today gives us miraculous wine in the Lord's Supper. There, he turned water into wine. Here, he turns wine into blood. Redeeming blood, saving blood, cleansing blood. God invites us yet again to his table today to remember his passion and death, of which the Lord's Supper is a remembrance. But we also rejoice in this meal, not for the death of Jesus, but for what took place afterwards, his resurrection and the joyous promise of life to the full, life everlasting, in fact. He promises that he will fill us when we are empty, and his grace overflows into our lives and onto our lips through wine yet today. Take, drink, his blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. He is the resurrection and the life. In Jesus' name, amen.